Hey everyone, welcome back to We Have Thoughts. This is our Oscar Rewind series. We've hit the last Best Picture nominee for 2015 and the winner of the night, Birdman, The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. This was directed by Alejandro Iñárritu. Written by Alejandro Iñárritu, Nicholas Giacobone, and Alexander... Why do I do this to myself?
That's
Alexander D. And it's based on what we talk about when we talk about love by Raymond Carver. And that's kind of this what the base of the play is in the movie. It stars Michael Keaton, Zach Galifianakis, Edward Norton, and Emma Stone. This is Birdman. It was nominated for, I forgot to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Total awards, winning 4. It won for Best Picture, Best Director for Alejandro Iñárritu, Original Screenplay, and Cinematography. It was also nominated for Best Actor for Michael Keaton, Supporting Actor Ed Norton, Supporting Actress Emma Stone, Sound Mixing, and Sound Editing. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And let's get into it.
Yeah, so I've seen this before.
I have not.
I have.
Who was he together on? I don't remember.
Maybe. Let's go. That was a long time ago. I barely remembered any of this movie.
Same. Yeah, I thought I remember all of it. And I was like, what?
As I sat down, I was like, I basically remember him running around Times Square in his underwear and him flying.
I remember Emma Stone's scene, which is probably used in a lot of auditions.
Oh, it looked like it. God.
For that scene. And then I remember being very uncomfortable because that Edward Norton, Naomi Watts scene in the bed is made me very uncomfortable the first time. And again, this time. I definitely didn't appreciate it cinematography-wise as much before. Like, I feel like now, because I've said this before, but I have, better movie knowledge, I was able to appreciate all the shots that they were doing. And if you want to get real, they had a gimmick too, much like Boyhood, the whole long takes and him. But in the case of this one, he was very, very good at piecing the takes together to make it look very seamless. And that's where. So, my first thought was, is this Whiplash again? Because the score is just drums.
I wrote the drums.
Literally, because.
I wrote, drums really had their moment in 2015.
Everybody wanted those jazzy drums. That was the mood.
But this wasn't eligible. They denied his score for the Academy.
Oh, they did?
To be eligible for a nomination, because there was the drums, but then there was also those classical music and bits, and those weren't original.
Yeah.
So they said they're... Because the classical music plays such an important part as equal to the drums, it wasn't eligible. And they fought it, but they lost.
It was a rival situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
but those drums were a character.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it was good at keeping the pace of the film, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is so, hectic and chaotic. And, whenever there's... people in the scene, whenever there's people talking, it's so quick and so fast, and then whenever you're just traveling, roaming the halls, it slows down a little bit, but that's the only time where it slows.
It reminded me so much of the West Wing and the walk and talks and the fast dialogue. I was like, I'm back in the White House.
In the West Wing, was that where the walk and talk was coined? Is that the first time that ever happened?
I think that's where they coined the term in the film industry anyway.
Nice. Okay.
It's popular. It's there.
Hollywood really does love itself a lot.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, little bitch. I love Alejandro. I love cinematography and Emmanuel Lubezki. But I had some issues with this because I feel like story-wise, it's so cliche. The washed up star, he's trying to make real art and get back into the good graces of Hollywood. I feel like this is just This has been the story for many Hollywood actors.
Continues to be the story.
Yeah. Yeah, when they fuck up and they do terrible and then they come back and they make less commercial, real gritty, like an indie film or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This case Broadway.
Yeah, in this case Broadway, which, yeah, no, that looked legit. But it just, oh, I've heard the story before. And it's not like this movie came out like in the 70s or in the 80s where it would be like a, like the first one of its kind, but like we've seen this before, and like the narrative has already been there. It just bothered me that like I'm not a person who's like who can super predict movies really well. I generally can't. I get sucked into the film and then I'm just like, whatever the movie wants me to think, generally that's where my brain is at. But in this I was like, he's obviously gonna accidentally shoot himself. 100%. The first time they did that take, I was like, at some point, he's going to do this for real. So the second time that they did that scene, I was like, he's going to shoot himself. This is first, because the dude was like, oh, I want it to be real. The gun doesn't even look real. And I was like, well, he's going to do it for fucking real. And what happened? It happened. And I was like, of course his ex-wife is going to come back and be like, I love you, or like, you still are important to me, blah, 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 whatever, just because he's feeling like shit. And like, it was so predictable, and that was really hard for me to focus because I was like, I can see where all the beats of this film are going. Not that they're badly done, because they're executed really well, and like visually it's just like a treat. It's just like so nice. I could argue either way whether it needed to be one long take or whether it didn't. I could take it or leave it. I think in this case it did help, but I could also see why someone would be like, not really necessary.
I think like, because I've been lucky enough to be behind or backstage at a production, it feels like that sometimes. It feels like sort of things mm-hmm. going on in and out of everywhere. So the long takes make sense for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, like, I don't know if like, I've never been in a Broadway production. I don't know about that, but like,
ooh, you haven't?
To me, it felt very similar when they're like going in and out of like dressing rooms and fittings and things like that, stage, off stage, da, da, da. Like it to me, it made sense in that room.
Back to what you were kind of saying, Joy, about the story being very easily predictable, and it's a story we've heard. It kind of reminds me of those times during the Great British Bake Off when they're like, if you're gonna do classic, you've got to do classic well.
Yes.
And I feel like they did it well, and I think they did it because they were adding this fantastical element to it. So instead of like having a complicated story with the fantastic element, I think it was a perfect balance. Like if they would have tried to make it some bigger story, it would have gotten lost with all those fancy elements. But because mm-hmm. it was a simple, well-told, easy to follow story, those moments of him moving things with his mind or floating in the air, they were easily, like, they were more acceptable.
Yeah. Accessible. They made it more interesting. It was that like addition to it that kept it interesting. Same with like, most people are never going to go backstage in a Broadway production. Like they don't know what that looks like. So that was so nice to be like, ooh, look at this and that. And like it did a good job of like showing you the like the weight of the situation and just being like, there is so much going into this. I love that it was like a really big ensemble that like you got to see like the sound people and the whatever. And even if you didn't spend a lot of time with him, I just love that they really like built an environment to it. That was really nice. I just story-wise, I was like,
I think what helps the story in any sense is that this is basically Michael Keaton, because he was Batman. He was Regan Thompson, that's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. He basically is the same character. You know, he later did try to like do things to make himself an actor and whatever. So I think the whole meta nature of it and, you know, the narrative behind uh-huh. him in this movie helped propel it to where it went to.
And yeah, apparently that is also a parody of an exaggeration of Edward Norton. Apparently he is a bit of an ass and he's hard to deal with. And that is, he is like his character, and there were moments in the when they were rehearsing, because there was a lot of rehearsal for this to get all of the takes down. The director was like, you know, you're acting like your character, right? Like, had to like point it out to him. So I thought that was interesting that he was so willing to take that on. Like, I know I'm an asshole and I'm going to play myself, basically.
The maturity level of it was really interesting. Like, so even that he has a conversation with Michael Keaton about like, oh, superheroes are stupid, whatever. I was like, ah, this guy was Bruce Banner. Remember that?
Yeah, he was the whole.
That's hilarious to me. And even honestly, though, like, it really is a good showcase in acting as well, because that first scene between Ed Norton and Michael Keaton where they're on the stage, he's like, no, give it to me. I want you to just, you know, all that's so good. Mm-hmm. Like, switching back and forth from a character to who they are. And, like, it feels so real, like, in the moment. And the camera's really close, but then it backs up because it wants you to see what's going on. Like, all of that, the choreography of everything.
Choreography.
Really good.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I can definitely applaud the camera work, because that's not something, first of all, not something easy to do. Mm-mm. And not just to like make it look easy, but make it look beautiful. Like, there's so many shots in it where it's just so interesting looking, and a lot of that is due to like the lighting, because you're like in the shadows and then in the background, and then you got the really interesting stage lighting, and it's really well done. It looks really nice, obviously.
Apparently they kept a running tally of who messed up the most during takes, because there were like 20 minute takes of just dialogue and the choreography and stuff. Any guesses on who messed up the most?
Edward Norton.
Yeah, Edward Norton.
Emma Stone, of course. And who messed up the least?
Michael Keaton.
Zach Galifianakis.
Speaking of,
he was great.
Oh my god,
he was fantastic.
He was so good. I was like, I need to see more of this. And where are these roles? Give you these roles. I don't care about The Hangover. Sure, it was funny or whatever, but like, do this. This is good. This is where, you know, your talent really shines. I was just so blown away by him, and he was running in that much, and he was so great.
Also, Mara Weaver. I forgot that was her in this movie.
She's
so great and everything.
This was and I hate to do it, but like, this was very white.
Girl,
which is interesting considering like the director is not, and he hires people behind the scenes who are not.
I feel like sometimes. Sorry, Anna. Go ahead.
No. Continue.
Sometimes it's like, you know, like you play the game to get in, and then you just like it becomes part of your thing.
Yeah, but like at least one.
Yeah, I know. There's no excuse, really, because it's modern enough.
True, but my thought of it was kind of like he is telling a white man's story. Like, this is classic white man. Wham, call the whambulance. So, like,
it's very much, yeah.
It's taken, point.
It gives me very much like woe is me, pity me, I'm so sad, my life is so hard, blah, 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 even though I have millions of dollars and a family that really wants to love me, you know?
But it's I just won't let them.
Yeah, like, and I get it, like, high stress situations, you're not going to act like a normal person would act, but like, come on, dude.
One of my notes is, ugh, men. I don't really know what it's about, but it just be anything, really.
I did make a note. White men, white in parentheses, but also men in general, don't know how to handle feelings of inadequacy and failure.
Boo-boo.
They just don't. Because like as women, we're like, we're expected, growing up as girls, you're like expected to be more mature and smarter and be able to handle yourself better and behave. And like boys just kind of get a pass at like doing whatever the fuck they want and not getting in trouble as much. And so when you fail and you have to learn from your failure, men don't really get that as much. or like they get like a pass, and so they don't know how to handle like when you actually really do fail, and like how do you deal with that? You have to deal with, men just don't know how to deal with negative emotions.
Or when they fail, it's not their fault, it's someone else's fault.
Yes.
I wish I could remember where I read this, and maybe I've talked about it with you two before. Maybe I've talked about it on the podcast. I don't remember. But I read something that was like, women are born with their pain. Like, we literally are born to experience pain every month. And we are born to experience childbirth. And we are born, like, with all of these pains already inside of us. And men don't have that. So they create, that's why they're so, like, toxic and so
you did say that. I think so.
All over the place, because they don't know how to feel when we're born with it. Ugh. Essentially, I need to look at where I read that, because I really enjoyed that.
I think you either you told us or you like tweeted about it and I saw it.
Yeah
it was like they have to, that's why they look for like super violent and very physical sports, because they like they need to feel pain because they don't know what it's like. And I'm like, bitch, get in line. Like,
yeah, they're born without that vulnerability, and so they're constantly trying to seek it out in different ways. I just thought that was really interesting way to look at it.
Yeah,
agreed. One of the best lines of this movie is whenever Zach Galifianakis goes, "Jeremy Renner," and Michael Keaton goes, "Who?"
Oh man, wait, and have you seen Black Widow?
I have.
Okay, so it reminds me, spoilers if you haven't seen Black Widow, shut up for, or put me on mute for like 30 seconds, that end credit scene where she's like, "Ooh, look at him, such a cutie," and pointing at Jeremy Renner, and I'm like, "Who?" Ma'am, check your eyes, please. Put some-
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to talk about that when we finish this.
Hell yeah.
So, fun little theater nerd moment during opening night when all the people come out during intermission. The first person, that blonde woman with the short haircut, is Susan Blackwell, who is a Broadway actress, and she also has a show called Side by Side with Susan Blackwell on Broadway.com, where she interviews different people on Broadway, and I love her. She also has a podcast called The Spark, maybe? I forget. But it was through her podcast that I learned about Hilda Off Klimt. The artist that I was obsessed with. I am obsessed with. Anyway, I'm a huge fan of her, and I saw her and I was like, Susan Blackwell! Like,
did you wave?
I was very excited. Hi. I did. I was like, look at me!
I know her! I love that.
You tweeted me once!
Oh, oh my god, you're
hey, so you're friends, basically.
We're best friends. This musical that she wrote with her friends, there's this great song in it that she sings about, like, not letting what other people think get in your way or whatever. And to believe in yourself and trust in yourself. And I was getting ready to take a final of a really hard class. And I was listening to it. And so I tweeted that I was listening to it to get into the final. And she, like, retweeted me. I was like, breathe, you've got this. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Bitch, you bet I got an A in that class.
Yeah, you did. Look at her.
How cute.
Love you.
Do you have any other notes on it? Or we're going to go through the...
In the beginning, in like the first... Like the first...
God created...
The heavens and the earth. It was so chaotic. And I was like really enjoying it. Because I was like, oh, what's happening? What the fuck is going on? And I was... It took me a minute to like get what was... I mean, I'm not dumb. But like it took me a minute to realize, okay.
What did you realize?
I didn't know he was like doing, I didn't know. Okay. I was just very confused. There was a lot going on and my brain was just like not processing what the fuck was happening. Cause like, I didn't know anything about this movie other than he's Birdman. And I didn't really know how that came into play.
I'm just remembering I have two things.
Oh, okay. I was really confused in the beginning.
Birdman's voice hurts me.
It hurts you?
Like, thinking about having, like, like, I like to mimic and I like to, like, I like to mimic when I hear voices and accents and things. I like to mimic, but that one I was like, no, that like hurts me just you thinking about it. Yes, I was like, that must have taken a lot of like hot tea and anyway.
Because that was him, right? Doing the Birdman voice?
I don't know. But before we dive into like the movie as a whole and all of that rankings and things, what do you think happened at the end? What's your interpretation of the ending?
Oh, that's a great question. Because Emma Stone is looking up at the sky as if he were flying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's established before that like, he just walked out of the cab, went to the theater, and the cabbie was like, hello, pay me. So he clearly wasn't flying that time. He was in the cab. So I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. It's easy to say that, like, he was flying, but I don't think he was. Then why would she be looking up? I don't know.
Yeah, Inuyuritu would never confirm what it was supposed to be. He wanted it to be open-ended, and apparently this ending came to him in a dream.
Like most of this movie, I'm sure.
Because it was supposed to end with him shooting himself on stage, and then the next scene is an actor, like, I think they said, I don't know if it was confirmed to be, or it was just, like, the idea of it being Johnny Depp in the... Oh my God, what's it called? Dressing room. In his dressing room with a picture of Jack Sparrow behind him and Jack Sparrow talking to him. Kind of like it's an endless loop. It's an endless cycle.
That's interesting.
That would have been really cool.
And a little bit more of a firm, he did kill himself on stage and Johnny Depp was taking over type thing. I thought that would have been interesting. Although I think the ending was fine. I thought it was, I like an open-ended. You can take what you want from it. But yeah, I do think dude killed himself.
Yeah, I feel like he just had a lot. That's why I was like, I kind of wanted the ending to be him shooting himself on the stage. That to me kind of was like full circle, closure, final. But I do understand wanting it to be open-ended because so much of it was like up into his own brain's interpretation of shit because he was like in his own head about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that element was really interesting. Personally, I wish it would have ended on the stage. But it makes sense for the movie for it to have ended the way it did.
I totally lost my thought. Like, I literally just saw it fly away from me.
We saw it too in the corner of the Skype call.
So scary. It's just gone. Anyway.
Yeah, so we're gonna go through the categories.
Y'all.
Okay, best cinematography, and it won that award. So what are we thinking? Joy, we're going to go to you.
Okay, so I watched this movie, and then my goal was to watch more of the cinematography noms. Obviously, I saw Grand Budapest, but I watched Ida, and when I tell you that my eyeballs were blessed that night, I'm serious. Like, every frame was a photograph, and the photograph was immaculate, and the lighting was perfect, and it was just so fucking beautiful. And I thought I was going to be like, oh no, wow, yeah, Birdman win, sure, whatever. But...
The nominees were Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken.
I was not going to watch Unbroken. And Mr. Turner, I just didn't get around to. But I had heard a lot of talk about Ida before, so I was just like, it's an hour and a half. Let me do it real quick. I would argue that Ida would win for me. But Birdman was really fucking good. And it was really skillfully done, really technically perfect. But then again, so was Ida.
And then Ida's in black and white, so like to me,
it's totally different.
It's totally different, so it's hard to, at least because I watch Ida as well, and it's hard to compare.
It's like apples and oranges.
Yeah, like I mean, I can see why this is good, but I also can see why this is good. So mm-hmm. I think at this point, it just kind of comes to taste.
Like, yeah. And honestly, on one day it'll be Birdman, and on another day it'll be Ida. And yeah. Today it just happens to be Ida.
Grand Budapest is one of my favorite movies, but I would agree that Birdman and Ida is between those two, because the technical nature of Birdman is outlandish. But then like Ida's so quiet, and it's so. What's interesting about Ida, like I really like that, and I've seen this before, but I noticed it in this movie the most is where I feel like what the director was doing, Pavel Pavlikovsky. I'm not sure if that's the same thing. He'll set the frame, the scene, mm-hmm. the shot. He'll put the camera there and just put it right, just steady camera, and then have the actors interact within that beautiful frame. So whether there's an actor there already and it's a beautiful shot, and then the bartender will come in, get her drink, go out, come back in, and it's like. Almost, it's like
a moving painting.
Like
yeah.
Paintings come to life. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. It's between those two for sure.
Yeah.
Fun fact: I once played a duck named Ida.
Elaborate. Please, for this minute, continue, please. Anna, you have.
My senior year of high school, I was in a musical called Honk about the ugly duckling. Really cool show. Obviously, and I played the mother. Her name was Ida, and I got to wear yellow rain boots on stage.
Cute,
adorable.
And then that was in the fall, and then in the winter we did Into the Woods, and I was the witch. And one of my favorite, one of my favorite mothers came up to me afterwards. She goes, "First I'm a duck, and then a witch. I prefer the duck." Turns around and walks away.
Oh my God.
Like in that voice too. I was like, shut up. I love you.
That's amazing.
I prefer that.
Anna was an actress and it was amazing time.
Anna should be an actress again, I think.
They're having those auditions for, I texted to you guys. Did you see it?
Sister Act.
Yeah. Sister Act. There you go.
I actually saw these auditions for a really cool like play that somebody had just written.
Oh.
I'll tell you about it later. Yeah.
Okay, so the next category is best sound mixing. When it comes to sound, because also sound editing. So, like, when it comes to sound, I know, but I don't know. You know what I mean?
Same. I'm not the sound expert here.
But sound mixing, Interstellar was also nominated.
Yeah, so.
Did it win?
No.
Whiplash did.
Whiplash won mixing and American Sniper won editing.
I should have been Interstellar across the board.
I mean, if it wasn't going to be nominated for Best Picture, I at least
give
something,
it sound. Yeah.
Right?
Or like, what the... Anyways, what the hell? Okay, so...
Or score.
At least. Okay, so now we're going to go to original screenplay, which it won for.
Mm-hmm.
Against Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Nightcrawler. What do we think?
I don't know if I agree with it winning Best Original Screenplay, because I feel like a lot of the magic is not on the page.
Correct.
I feel like this would... I didn't see Foxcatcher, but Nightcrawler, I think, is a great original idea.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Budapest was fun, and it was, like, very witty and very fast, and I enjoyed it. So Nightcrawler or Budapest for me would have been my choice.
Actual same, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably with Nightcrawler inching ahead for me, even though it's been a while since I've watched it.
Joy?
Ooh. I mean, my choice is not even nominated, which would have been Selma. I'm gonna have to go with Nightcrawler, even though Grand Budapest is very like original in the fact that it was so fucking weird.
Fair.
I think Nightcrawler was just such a great build to the plot.
Yeah.
And it just so much of it relied on the story. So I think that's the stronger one for me.
Yeah, I think like Nightcrawler story-wise, but like maybe dialogue, Grand Budapest.
Okay, yes, yeah.
I agree.
So I'll agree. That story, Nightcrawler, was like, I could feel myself getting more and more creeped out as the movie went on. Oh, man.
It really builds. It's really great.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So then we're going to go to, Best Supporting Actress.
Was it Emma Stone?
Emma Stone was nominated. She did not win. Patricia Arquette won for Boyhood.
What?
Against Laura Dern, Keira Knightley, and Meryl.
Meryl?
Meryl Streep.
Whatever. So what do we think about Emma Stone being nominated?
I guess.
For that speech that they gave.
It was.
I should have played up the speech we could perform it.
Oh, damn it. We'll put it'll be an exclusive clip on our Patreon.
Oh, God. Oh, God. If we're looking at the list of Best Supporting Actress, it wasn't an exciting year for women.
No. Supporting Actress was such a shit year. God.
I mean, Best Actress itself isn't too much more exciting.
I know. No, unfortunately.
So, why not? I mean, I guess she had a good scream scene where she was yelling at him. And
I think this is a case where they just love this movie so much. And were like, oh, nominate this. And then nominate that. And they need to still love the supporting actress anyway. So, they're like, oh, okay, bring her over here.
You even know? Though, like, Carrie Coon is right there. And Kim Dickens were right there. And even Jessica Chastain was right there.
Do you think that Emma Stone was better than Naomi Watts or the brunette? I don't know her name.
Personally, I think Naomi Watts was great in this.
I think so too.
Her and Michael Keaton's girlfriend in the movie were really good.
I don't remember her name.
They were good.
I agree.
Emma Stone was good, but I don't think that she was any better than Naomi Watts or the other lady.
Although, how did you guys feel about their scene, the two women? I kind of felt like their making out was
forced.
Yes.
Yeah. Cheap. It did not. I mean, not that I'm like, ew, whip, I don't know. I just didn't feel necessary.
No, it felt very, like, male-gazy.
It did.
Yes.
Even though it was all just, like, in the face, it was just like, first of all, where is this coming from? Second of all.
They kind of allude to it whenever she's like, oh, she's got a great ass, like, whenever she walks by. So, like, I guess that would have been, like, planting of the seed. But they didn't really go anywhere with it. They only did that, have her say that, so they could have them kiss later. I think that's the only reason why she did that happen.
Yeah, and so even for then, original screenplay, fuck no.
And then at the beginning, his girlfriend seemed like super insane. Like she was really weird, and then she was pretty normal throughout the rest of the movie. I was like,
what?
Who the fuck are you?
Also, who wrote this movie again?
Although gets a little weird at the end again.
Okay, and you read too.
Doesn't know how to write for women. Maybe that's a problem.
Oh, I did write. Oh, because,
What was the other movie? With Leo?
The Revenant.
Yeah, that was not good with women.
Okay, either. So maybe Alejandro was a problem.
Maybe men are the problem.
Well, yes, but in this particular case, Alejandro.
One of my notes for the movie was this movie is about him failing all the women in his life because of his ego.
Oh, boo boo.
Because he fails his daughter.
Put that in your litter box review.
I will. Yeah. He fails Emma Stone. He fails his ex-wife. And he fails his current girlfriend by literally never saying anything fucking nice to her. How do you have a whole relationship with someone and not say something fucking nice? How? Are you even in a relationship? Jeez.
But also, why did she stay with someone who was never nice to her?
It's just, he seems so, like, disinterested.
If he's not nice to you, don't waste your time.
If he seems very disinterested, he's obviously disinterested, so walk away.
Yeah, okay. What's that song by Lizzo? Why are men great till they gotta be great situation? You
know? Yeah. Just now.
Are they ever great, though? Anyways. Okay. Original screenplay. So, yeah, we're gonna go. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Supporting actress.
So, sure. Supporting actor for Edward Norton. J.K. Simmons won, obviously, and he beat out Robert Duvall, Ethan Hawke, and Mark Ruffalo.
I agree that he should be there.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think I would.
He made me hate him because he makes me so uncomfortable after I think about it. So, yeah. Good job, Edward Norton.
Do you want to talk about Foxcatcher a little bit since you did get to see it?
Oh, yeah. So
it's nominated for a few things.
It kind of falls in the creepy nature of Nightcrawler, actually. But it's very quiet. It's very quiet, very slow. So it takes a little bit to build up. But I wanted to go a little bit more into the characters because these are real people. It's a story about this like rich guy who is basically a fan of Olympic wrestling, and he approaches them and say, hey, I want to be the sponsor of the wrestling team. Because when he got money, he can just do that, I guess. And so he has this he didn't buy them. He just like, I want to give you guys money to provide you with. He builds an entire like village on his land where the players come and live and train and all this stuff. And he gets kind of like, if you ever watch The Office, which is kind of funny because it's Steve Carell, Michael Scott is always about like creating situations to where people can be his friend because he doesn't have any friends. So this is that on like a scary level. I'm serious, because the guy, John DuPont, is this rich guy who never had any friends, was an outcast, and he's buying people to be in his life because no one will be around him because he's creepy and weird and he's terrible and he's mean. And then he doesn't know how to handle it when they like treat him with like, they give him these, like he writes Channing Tatum with one of the wrestlers. And he is here's my speech I want you to read for my some like ball they're having. And it's all about how Mr. DuPont is like super super gracious, and he's like a father to me. He's this, that, the other. Like he's so great. And Channing Tatum just met him like 2 days before that. So it's a situation to me where Steve Carell is just like, I need these people in my life to feel whole. And then when Mark Ruffalo, who is Channing Tatum's brother, comes into the picture, who also trained, who is, he's a coach and sometimes he wrestles, everyone gravitates towards Mark Ruffalo. And Steve Carell cannot handle it. He gets super jelly and I don't want to spoil it, but it doesn't end well for one of them. And so it's interesting. It's kind of like obsessive, but like on a scary level. So when it comes to Mark Ruffalo, I think he did a really good job. I think Steve Carell, who got nominated as well, should be there.
What about Channing Tatum?
He was fine. He's hardly, I don't know. He's fine. Nothing of like extraordinary.
Not like Mark Ruffalo.
No, because Mark Ruffalo is so sweet, but he's also very like, he approaches Steve Carell like, okay, well, let's talk about it, buddy. Let's, you know, he preaches him in a nice way, and like Steve Carell takes it as like condescending. Very interesting. I just wish I would have gone into a little bit more, because like I said, it's really quiet. And Sienna Miller's there randomly.
Why is she in everything?
But yeah, so that's Foxcatcher. I think it's worth your time. It's not the best movie, but it's an interesting one for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And wasn't this a true story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a true story. They made a documentary on Netflix, I think, not that long ago.
Oh. Okay. So Mark Ruffalo, good job.
Yeah. Supporting actor.
I mean, no one was going to beat J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, that was his to lose, really. Yeah. So then we're going to go to Best Actor, which that was Eddie Redmayne's to lose, so he was a clear winner from the jump. Steve Carell, I think he should have been there. Bradley Cooper, no. Benedict Cumberbatch, sure. Michael Keaton. I think Michael Keaton did a good job. I think he should have been there.
I think he did great.
Yeah, I agree. I like Michael Keaton. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's I think he's a damn fine actor.
Yeah.
I love how you had an accent when you said that.
Thank you.
It was interesting seeing him like go back and forth with it. It is really funny to me that just like film Twitter and film people in general are like really mad at Eddie Redmayne for winning that, when I'm like, to me, I think they both did really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eddie Redmayne's character had a little bit more to take on. So the character was a little bit more complex. So I can totally see why they went with him. I don't think Michael Keaton was robbed completely.
No,
I don't see that being justified. Now, having seen all of them, well, except for Steve Carell.
He's good. And even though Steve Carell's like, oh, the funny guy does something serious, that narrative has happened a lot.
Yeah.
I do think he does a good job. Because he's very quiet, lot of like stares because he's trying to figure out like, how do I fix this? How do I become on top again? But never really says much, but it's all in his acting.
So, acting.
Yeah.
So he did good.
I really appreciate Steve Carell.
Steve Carell, real good creep.
He should have been nominated for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Same with David Oyelowo.
Yes, David Oyelowo. This was, damn, he was so fucking good.
And Ralph Fiennes,
I think. Ralph Fiennes was also great. I think my two favorites of this year are probably David Oyelowo and Jake Gyllenhaal, who are not even nominated.
You're right. Okay, yeah. So then Best Director, Alejandro Iñárritu won. He beat out Richard Linklater, Bennett Miller, Wes Anderson, and Morten Tildum. Do you think he should have won?
Yeah.
For this, I'm going to say yes, just because I can't even imagine what it was like to like maneuver all of that choreography in and out. Mm-hmm. And like, that feels like such a feat.
Yeah, it's like orchestrating.
He was an orchestra. He was a conductor, yeah.
Congrats to Richard Linklater for showing up to work for 12 years. But it wasn't imaginative.
Bitch, a lot of us are doing that, so.
I think it would have been.
He doesn't get no gold star for this.
Please put that as your letterbox review for this movie.
Please do.
Please, I'm going to do it. Please.
I think that Richard Linklater, David Fincher should have been in there for Gone Girl. And then.
Oh, I would do Duvernay.
Or I would take out Morten Tildum.
Duvernay.
And put in Ava DuVernay.
DuVernay. I always get it wrong. I'm so sorry.
I'd honestly say.
Did a good job, I think, because it's a lot of long shots.
Oh, yeah.
To establish, like, this is date. How big it is. How big it how is. Grand. How grand. And he has all these things. And then you zoom in on his face and how he has nothing.
Ooh, really interesting.
Yeah, so I think Bennett Miller was never going to win. Him being
here. Bennett Miller.
Although I would argue that homeboy Christopher Nolan should be here for Interstellar.
1,000%.
But
facts.
I'm Nolanite, so I'm a little biased. But whatever.
In those who have been nominated, for me it was between Budapest and Birdman.
Yeah.
There. And I gotta go with Birdman.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, and he did a really great job about it, and it was executed to perfection. So solid win.
Agreed. Okay, and so the last Best Picture. So let's talk about it. Do we have our rankings?
Oh fuck.
I do, and I think it's interesting this year.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give our rankings, and then because we think it should be 10 nominees, not 8, we're going to add the two that we think would have rounded it out to 10.
Wait, do we have to add our two within the ranking? Because I don't know if I can
no,
do that.
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
I was like, in addition, going to add
my heart just like
we should have been there as well.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm good.
Crystal, you want to go first?
Sure. So, because I actually did ahead of time, yay me. So at the bottom is, guess what, y'all? American Sniper.
Boo!
Then it's the lovely, not really, Boyhood.
Boo!
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit better with Imitation Game, kind of basic, but, you know, all right. Then a little bit better, again, with The Theory of Everything. Then it gets serious with Selma. Then I have Whiplash, Birdman, and Grand Budapest. And the two movies I think should have been added to round it out would have been Interstellar, because that movie blew my mind to a million pieces, and Gone Girl, because that was very well done all the way through.
Okay. This is going to sound pretty familiar. So coming in at number 8, no surprises here. It's American Sniper.
Ew.
Followed closely at number 7, we have Richard Linklater's Boyhood.
Ew, again.
Coming in at a surprising number 6, we have Theory of Everything.
All right, okay.
And at number 5, we have Whiplash. And then sneaking in at number four, we have The Imitation Game. And then my number two and my number three, they could be interchangeable. It depends on how the wind blows. But currently at number three, we have Selma. Number two, we have Birdman. And coming in at number one, we still have the Grand Budapest Hotel, with the caveat that I think Birdman still should have won Best Picture.
Interesting.
Really? Okay, explain.
Well, I think because I agree, honestly, because I love Budapest, but it's because it made me feel like I like Wes Anderson and it's fun and it's whatever, it's whimsical. But I think, honestly, Birdman was the rightful one.
Interesting. Yeah. Can I have a reason why?
It was a typical film.
I think Birdman was the better film, but personally, I enjoy the fun nature of Grand Budapest and the stylizing of Grand Budapest a little bit more.
Me exactly.
Okay.
And then my two additions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Again, this is going to sound real familiar. Interstellar and Gone Girl.
Oh, my God.
I have been singing Interstellar's praises since it came out in theaters, and I saw it and wept.
Yeah.
I have the book on the science behind Interstellar. I love that movie. Yes. Crystal.
So I know it's easier now because of the pandemic, but can we rent out a theater and watch Interstellar?
I would 110,000% love to do that.
Because there's a bunch of movies I wish I'd seen in theaters, but that's one of the top ones. Because like I feel like my TV couldn't have been big enough. The couch could have been more comfortable. Like nothing could have made, I don't know. I just remember like feeling my brain like open and it like feeling exposed. Like I was like out of body experience. I think like Joyce in behind me. I feel like I was floating. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry to see with you on it because I know you're all about it, but it was like the middle of pandemic and like, you know, that's coronavirus. Okay.
I will watch it 1,000 times. And then Gone Girl, I listened to, that was like one of my very first audiobooks. And I loved it. I remember when the twist happened, I was like, that fucking bitch. And I had to like pull over into a parking lot and just be like, what the fuck is happening? And I think Gillian Flynn did an excellent job of adapting it for the screen. I think David Fincher was robbed. I think Rosamund Pike was robbed of some attention. I thought it was really, really well done and should have been nominated. And it would have been one of the only films that earned money that was not to be nominated for Best Picture.
Dang. Yeah, because okay. Typically awards fair doesn't. But I think we talked about this in the other one that like American Sniper got like a huge boost
post and awards.
It ended up becoming in the end the highest grossing of these eight. So.
Joy, your turn.
The money should have been better spent elsewhere.
Joy.
Okay. Oh yeah. I have the list right. No, I did it. It's just my phone timed out.
I didn't do it.
No, my phone timed out. It's really hard to do it while you guys are talking because I want to hear what you're saying, but I also want to
do it before we record.
Yeah, that's not how that works. Okay. Guys, this year's not very interesting. We got a lot of the same things. Okay, that's number eight, American Sniper. Anyone surprised? No. Then Boyhood. Then The Theory of Everything. And then something I actually enjoyed, The Imitation Game. While basic, I did enjoy it. Then I put Birdman.
Oh, wow. Which is interesting because you were like, I'm going to like this movie. I know I'm going to like
it. No, you know what? I was scared that I was going to like it. I was going to be like, oh, my God. I'm going to like this shit. Oh, no.
I think you did to some degree.
I did. Like, visually, visually, I really enjoyed it. I cannot get enough of, like, beautiful images into my eyeballs.
Fair.
Thank the Lord for the gift of sight.
Girl, yeah.
If I ever cannot see, and honestly, I have glasses and contacts, so who knows? I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do with myself. It was just so like lighting and just like the and just yes. But not my favorite. And number three, I give it to Whiplash, which I'm mad that I liked it so much.
Wow.
I'm mad that I, like, not that I can enjoy that, because that's just, like, abuse on screen is really hard.
It's well done.
But it was really well done, and honestly, this is, yeah, it's just good. And then number two is Grand Budapest Hotel, just because it was, like, eye candy. But the story was just fucking weird. But not in a bad way. And then number one is Selma.
Okay.
That has not changed since I watched it.
And you're two additional?
Well, guess what? It's Interstellar.
Yeah.
And the love of my fucking life, that crazy bitch Gone Girl. Rosamund Pike should have won the Oscar. And the only reason I didn't watch Still Alice is because it's on Stars and I don't have Stars. And I have to buy the whole fucking movie to watch it. And I'm not going to do that. But I stand by it till the end of time. That was Rosamund Pike's Oscar. That was it. She's.
I saw Still Alice. I remember it being fine, but it. I don't know. It's like, what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
It was good. She did great. I do want to talk about. Because this is a hill I will die on, is the need to include horror at the Oscars. And this year, The Babadook had come out.
What is that?
Oh, my God. Gay icon.
He turned it. I don't know how the fuck that happened.
Wait, what? I'm
so okay. So The Babadook is a horror movie. And there's it's I think they're Australian. This mother and her son. There's this children's book that she finds and she starts reading to her son, and it's about this creature called the Babadook. And it's super creepy and super scary. So she's like, we're not reading this. And she throws it out, but the book keeps coming back.
Oh, hell.
And the creature starts appearing. But it's really a beautiful story about loss and depression and living within the depression and like moving on with it. As much as it is a horror movie, it's also so beautiful.
Do you think the Babadook would have beaten Birdman?
No.
Okay.
I just wish it would have been included.
Yeah, fair enough.
In the conversation. It could have taken American Sniper's place.
And it could have taken American Sniper's place.
I mean.
The movie I shot on my phone yesterday could have taken American Sniper's place.
It could be my 10, including Interstellar, Gone Girl, except instead of American Sniper, it'd be The Babadook.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then somehow he became a gay icon, because he looks a bit... He's very over the top.
I love that for him.
Anyway, I really enjoyed that movie. I watched that a couple years ago when I did my horror movie every day of the month in October.
Surprisingly, I have seen
that movie.
You have?
Yeah, I went to one of my friends' Halloween party and they were playing it, and I was like, I want to look away, but I can't look away. And it would just like, woo, pop up randomly, and I was like, oh, God.
Like, it's not super, super scary. Did you enjoy it?
It was in the middle of a party, so I was like watching it, but not watching it. So I like watched, I do remember like, the images being like seared into my brain because it was like very.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to do that, the post or pre Black Panther, I really loved Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And not for the reasons you're thinking. I really enjoyed that movie. It's a good back and forth of, you know, Steve and him discovering like, what it means to actually be a representative for this country. And there's a lot of good things in there. It to me, it was more of a political thriller than it was a superhero movie.
100%.
It's like they put these superhero people in a political thriller. And I thought that was excellent. Mm-hmm. It was never going to get nominated. Actually, it was for special effects or visual effects. But for best picture, no way. Just because it won't. But I think it was very sophisticated. I think it was really interesting. And I watched it on the regular. But for different reasons now. I think it was really great. And that's what I would take out.
You know what? Honestly, let's watch that tonight. That sounds great. We got to do our monthly watch of that. Because honestly, in this house, we love the Winter Soldier.
So this ceremony was the Dear and Patricia Arquette's acceptance speech, she's talking about like pay equality. And this is where the gif of Marilyn and J-Lo was like, yes, yes, and they're clapping. This is where that comes from. This is Neil Patrick Harris's first time hosting. Is this one?
Oh.
This is the ceremony where Lady Gaga did that beautiful Sound of Music medley.
That was beautiful.
Oh my God. She looked gorgeous. She sounded great. Like Julie Andrews came out, gave her a hug. I was crying. It was great.
This is probably where Bradley Cooper was like, that's her.
You know what?
She's the one.
He was there.
Oh my God, because he was there.
Because that's where people started taking her seriously as a, like a, like, oh, she can do something besides her
craziness.
Shtick.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anyways, anything else?
Oh, if you haven't seen Ida, it's a really kind of a heavy film. Kind of, no, it's a very heavy film. It's Polish. I watched it. I really loved it. It was very impactful. It's beautiful. It's free on Tubi.
Tubi, yeah.
So that would also be one of my recommendations for this year, because that was a really, really...
It won Best Foreign Language, BT Dubs.
Yeah, so it won Best Foreign Language, and it should have, because that's beautiful. Not that I think I've seen any of the other ones, but... No, I have not. But that was really fucking beautiful.
You're really fucking beautiful.
So are you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that concludes the
2015
Gene Oscars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think we've shit on American Sniper enough?
No.
No, never enough.
Never.
We've been working on this season for 7 months.
Listen.
Some of
it happened, okay?
Life happened.
Some of us started new jobs. Some of us just.
We're human, all right?
Babies happened, you know.
But I think we've got it down. We know what we're doing now.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love us. We're great.
We're so great. That sounds great.
Yeah, so that's it.
I really like your background on it. It's like your bowls and your glasses are. It's very like aesthetically pleasing. I like it.
I am sitting at my kitchen table because I finally put that little folding table away in my living room.
There's so many bowls. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I need to.
Ice cream.
Those are also bowls.
Oh my God. For other parties you have, right?
Well, it's when we bought all those dishes at IKEA, remember?
Oh yeah. Those were the days.
Let's go to IKEA. Anyways, yeah. The Oscars 2015. Thanks for listening. Subscribe wherever you got podcasts.
Give money to our Patreon that we don't have.
We don't have Patreon, but if you want to cash app us, that's cool too. Help us buy a meal for the Emmy night. I don't know what we're eating that day, but it's going to be good. I know that.
Right. Pitch into our pizza fund.
Yeah. Oh, damn it, that pizza was good. So interesting.
Yeah, we'll be back with the 2014 Oscars, so stick around.
Stick around. Have a good night.
Day, morning,
life,
middle of the night,
midnight snack.
Oh, it is midnight snack time.
Have you had dinner?
I haven't had dinner, so that's why I'm hungry.
Okay, bye.
Bye.